This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, Sharp Money, DraftKings, VSiN, the sports betting network. Dustin Sweetelson, I'm Patrick Maher. We bring in the GOAT of guests, and he is, of course, FTNFantasy.com's network chief content officer. Just a freaking superstar, Mike Randall, at Randall Rant on Twitter. We're going to get into the draft. Of course, the NBA draft progressive guest line brings you, Mr. Randall. We're going to get into the draft, which is coming up tomorrow, and over at FTN Fantasy, you've got some good angles. I'll start here. Did you get into the hockey last night?
Oh, very much so. Was watching it. Son wanted me to play Clue last night. I told him we had to watch the third period. Very exciting. Loved it. Also loved, guys, that the under had hit at an incredible rate, so was not in the least bit shaken at the 1-1 score at the end of the first period. We doubled down. So it was a lucrative night, guys. Enjoyable night and a great game seven. Game seven is always great.
You almost, if you're betting an under 5.5, you almost like that 1-1 after the first period, because then, you know, they just tighten up and it's just all about taking advantage of one mistake. It's soccer's kind of the same way, where when you're total betting, have you gotten into the Euros at all in Copa America?
I have not. I'm actively planning a poker tournament at my house. So much like when you get a big lead early, can do a little snare drum there, Patrick. I was snare drumming during the game seven last night. Once you know that it's a 5.5 and they score two early, just tighten up, guys. Keep icing. I have not gotten
John
into soccer.
John Bonham Randall over there with the snare. We love to hear it. Let's talk about the process of preparing over at FTN Fantasy for the NBA draft. And this is, in particular, an NBA draft that just doesn't have the names we're used to with so many Euros. Let's go over the process here.
The process is simple. You have to be a college hoops basketball junkie like myself, who sits up here in the East Coast praying for a Pepperdine game against St. Mary's. And you have to actually go and do some research, like you do at the NFL draft, about the prospects here from Europe and from overseas. So just because there's not the big name players, there are incredible betting opportunities. Because I'm telling you right now, Patrick, what people think is going to happen is not what's going to happen. The odds are not reflecting it, because no one knows anything right now, because everyone is so tight-lipped. So I go back to a couple of years ago when it was Banchero versus Jabari. You had Woj bombs all over the place. I think it's going to be a similar situation tomorrow night.
Okay, well, let's start with Stephon Castle, who's the champ, UConn, and we'll talk about your bets. But also, I want you to project, because nobody watches more college hoops than you, project what the player will be in the pros. Let's start there. Stephon Castle, we know, a tremendous defender. What do you think Castle is going to be in the pros?
Yeah, the key to this is you can't get into paralysis by analysis, okay? I loved when people thought Grady Dick was going in the top 10, even though he's a weeble and he can't defend and can't do any of that stuff. And I loved when people were undervaluing Jordan Hawkins, who hit big three after big three. What you're looking for in this draft, guys, are players that can fit a certain style, that are chess pieces for teams. Stephon Castle, to me, people say he's Marcus Smart. Get out of here with that garbage, Marcus Smart. He's Drew Holiday. That's what he is. Ooh. 19 years old, 6'7", 6'9" wingspan. Started on UConn. Oh, by the way, national champions back-to-back. He was incredible. 21 points and 15 points in the last two matchups, so he can score against elite competition. And my favorite thing, he goes to the NBA combine. They say he can't make threes. He puts up 18 of 25 in the three-point shooting drill. So he's a fast riser, 76% from the free throw line. Great defender, 47% from the field. Started to show his development. Still only 19 years old. I know he's going top five. I think he's going top three, and I think he could end up being the best player in the draft. I see Drew Holiday for Stephon Castle.
That's a tremendous. We just saw how great, and we've seen how great Drew Holiday, maybe the most underrated player in the league. So you've got Castle, third overall pick at 7-1.
Oh, absolutely. I love it. I think it could even go higher. Guys, don't forget that the centers, the big players, are drawing a lot of the attention. That's great. This isn't 1984. You can get a wing here in Castle who can defend, who can shoot, who can attack the basket, and is still extremely young. That is what NBA teams want. I believe in Castle. Sure, I think the big guys will go, but I think they're being overvalued here because people don't know. They default. I mean, I remember I watched the 1984 draft the other night on ESPN talking about Sam Bowie. You know, I mean, guys, it's not that level. I like Donovan Clingan. I like Alex Saar, but but I think Castle and some of the guards are being underrated a little too much, and there's betting value.
So Stephon Castle, third overall pick, 7-1, and then Stephon Castle, top five, minus 150. Next up, FTNFantasy.com, Mike Randall. Next up, Jared McCain, he's going to go within the top 16, under 15.5.
Yeah, he has an elite skill, and that's what people have to understand. McCain is a shooter, a lights-out shooter. We've seen players like Okongwu with the Hawks. He went earlier than we thought because of interior defense. Corey Kispert, who was a shooter from Gonzaga, he went to the Wizards early. Sochan went to a top 10 as well because of his defensive prowess with Baylor, even though he couldn't shoot the ball in the ocean. And Jordan Hawkins, lights-out shooter. I compare McCain very favorably to Hawkins here. It's 15.5. I think he goes earlier. 41% from three-point range. Has the Duke lineage, which isn't bad. And oh, by the way, in the NCAA tournament, what did he shoot, Patrick? 16 of 32 from three-point range. That's 50%. That makes no sense. 8 of 11 from three-point range in the destruction of JMU. Oklahoma City, Portland, Sacramento all have had him in for workouts, and all of them go earlier than pick 16. I will take the under 15.5 here on Mr. McCain.
Mike, I want you to tell me, what do you think of the two Kentucky kids are going to be top 10 picks, Reed Shepard and Rob Dillingham? What do you think about them projecting into the pros?
Yeah, I like them both. People, though, have to be a little careful with Reed Shepard. I know he's young and I know he's talented. He can shoot. I love him. I don't know if he's the automatic slam dunk top end star, but I think both of them have what all you can ask for with a prospect is sustained NBA success. I like Dillingham. I like Shepard. Shouldn't have come off the bench, by the way. Probably should have played more. Maybe Kentucky would have won a few more games. Like them both. I just don't know if Reed Shepard should be the first overall pick, like some people are putting out there as a rumor.
Next up, you've got a matchup here. Devin Carter picked before Dalton Knecht at plus 115.
Yeah, if Santiago Vescovi doesn't get hurt or gets the flu, rather, before Purdue, I still think they beat the Boilermakers. Dalton Knecht won me an excessive amount of money. Brilliant scorer, transfer from Northern Colorado, tremendous tall. However, Devin Carter is the real deal. Big East Player of the Year all around. 21 points per game, 8.7 rebounds per game, even though he's only standing 6'2". That's a guy who had 38% from three-point range and ended up having 12 double-doubles. 6'2", great with the blocks, great with the steals, hits big shots. So underrated, Devin Carter. Love him as a player. And right now they're putting Dalton Knecht ahead of him. Who's going to go first? I like Devin Carter. Our mock from Zach Graham here at FTN has Devin Carter going 8th and Dalton Knecht going 12th. I have no problem with Dalton Knecht. I like Dalton Knecht. Carter is a special player. Rebounds as a guard, steals, blocks, defense, makes 3. Check, 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 check. Devin Carter ahead of Dalton Knecht. I like them both. Carter's a better two-way player.
Thoughts on Zach Edey?
I think Zach Edey's fine. He's not going to be your back-to-the-basket center. You know, if Walker Kessler, guys, didn't have a tremendous impact right away with Utah, why is Zach Edey? But I like him. He's serviceable. He's going to find his minutes. He's going to be a nice chess piece. If Jared McCain can be a chess piece shooting threes off the bench, then Zach Edey can be a chess piece as a big man. But I do think the game getting up and down is going to be a little tough for him. But again, guy who's going to have sustained NBA success, much like Okongwu, much like Walker Kessler.
The favorite, Mike, is the Rishashir. I cannot say his name. Zachary, mm-hmm. The kid from France. From what you've seen, just doing your studying, what do you see from him?
Yeah, a lot of development. He's very high. He made 38% of his threes in all his competitions. He can hit things off his screens, good off the bounce. He's good friends with Victor Wembanyama, so that's certainly not a negative. Yeah, I think he's another guy I haven't seen a lot, but everything I've read, he is the typical big that you want coming over from Europe who can score it, who can do everything. I think it's a solid pick as well. A lot of success here at Europe. These players are getting more talented, and their skill development is ahead of a lot of the players who went to college.
And then we heard for a long time, most likely to go number one was Alexander Sarr. He's kind of fallen a little bit here. Do you have any thoughts on the player?
Yeah, I think Sarr's fine. He's certainly a better player than Zach Edey, a better developed player. Not great from three-point range, that's going to have to develop. And again, people have been spoiled by Victor Wembanyama. He wasn't great from three-point range, but got better, and his impact on the defensive end is obviously lights out. So I think Sarr is fine. I just think people compare to what they've seen in the past of a top pick, and he falls a little bit short. But let's remember Anthony Edwards, guys? He didn't like basketball. They questioned his motivation. When he came out, everything worked out. Again, I think Sarr is a solid player. Not spectacular, but solid.
Donovan Clingan. So an old school big. I don't even, do you attempt three-pointers in college or maybe a handful? Project a Clingan.
Yeah, Clingan is really a perfect match for like a Clint Capella player. Capella's an expiring contract, not on the roster for long. I could see Atlanta going with him to replace him. Again, not the leading scorer, not the guy you're going to go to at crunch time, not that type of player, but certainly can be a starter, can sit there and supplement guard scores, things like that, be a nice pick and pop guy, develop his jumper. But you can't teach size. You can't teach the success. I'm fine with Clingan, again, as a chess piece and could be a starter here. Like him better than Sarr.
Randall, we are going to talk to you in August. You've got a big summer coming up with the family. I just want to say thank you for all the work you put in for us over these past few months. It's been more than a past few months, for a year. Thank you for everything. It's ftnfantasy.com for fantasy and your betting needs, at Randall Rant on Twitter. We appreciate you, buddy. Have a great summer.
Thanks, guys. Be back in August, refreshed and replenished and ready for greatness.
As always, you and the kids and the wife, be safe. There goes Mike Randall, ftnfantasy.com. He is a monster when it comes to the NFL. So as soon as we get back here in August, Mike Randall is going to be a part of the program. Just a great guy, and he sends the funniest text. He's a different cat. We'll get into the baseball next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, become a VSIN Pro. You get a free month, $1.99, so you get a discount. We've got the guide, NFL guide, dropping on Thursday, but to get it, you have to be a pro. VSIN.com/subscribe. To unlock the deal, use the promo code SHARP. We got you back here, Sharp Money. Going to go three up, three down. Just quickly in the Euros, I don't know what's up with this England team. You're in the 57th minute. And it's 0-0 against Slovenia. I mean, that is, what, 55 in the world in Slovenia against England, who has the much more time. They just can't put it together. I don't know what that deal is. Denmark and Serbia tied up at 0 as well. Okay, big guy, let's get to it. Baseball, 15 games today, three up, three down.
I mean, it's got to drive England crazy, though. Like, they create this sport, becomes a worldwide phenomenon, and then these random countries that, no offense, don't matter.
It really is incredible. They're freaking out over there right now.
All right. Let's begin here. Let's actually begin with 210, guys. Let's do 210. Sorry, I said the wrong number. In order to move forward, let's look back at last night. Garrett Crochet has transitioned from a lefty reliever with electric stuff to a starting pitcher despite having no professional experience as a starter at any level in the minors. And he is now firmly in the mix, Patrick, for AL Cy Young. So
it's insane.
Over
it's
his last month,
one of the crazier stories.
He has been so freaking dominant on a horrible team. So factor in that every single game, the margin's slim. He has to be so pinpoint accurate, and yet he's been so dominant. Over the last month, 36 and two-thirds innings pitched, 56 strikeouts in that span, a sub-2 ERA, 5 quality starts, 0.93 whip. I actually think the White Sox should trade him, maximize this transition and how awesome he is, and get a bunch of prospects to figure things out, because Garrett Crochet, his ceiling may not ever be this high. If it somehow gets better, I'd be shocked. But I went and bet him at 19-1 about 2 weeks ago for AL Cy Young. Over at DraftKings now, he is down to 9-1.
And Scooble's number is?
Plus 180. He goes today, and it's interesting with Scooble. I think we're going to get into him later on here in the segment, because Scooble's got a tough matchup. And we can do the Phillies one now here, because he's facing a Philadelphia Phillies team that across the board does really well against southpaws. So this lineup against lefties, they are fourth with a 278 batting average. They're third in OPS against lefties. They're second in home runs with 33, and they are first, the best in baseball, with 128 runs scored against lefties. You look up what your boy Scooble's done recently, Patrick. He's allowed 4 earned runs in back-to-back starts. So my thought a while ago was to fade him for Cy Young, and I think with this matchup here at plus 180, his number is going to have to get a little bit longer here unless he somehow shuts down this Phillies offense.
What I think is crazier is the respect in the market today.
Yes.
For him. Now, again, I know it's in Detroit, but he's going against Suarez. And, you know, a $1.20, $1.17 favorite for the Phillies against a guy that's coming off 2 not great starts and a team that mashes lefties. I think it's still a lot of respect for Scooble in the market because, hello, the Detroit Tigers literally don't score.
Well, he's a dog, plus 102 dog over at DraftKings right now, Scooble. And I bet...
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's like, I still think that's respect being shown to the Phillies.
It's he's plus 102. I laid it with the Phillies here. I just think because they have an offense, right? Someone's going to have to score in this game in a great pitcher's matchup. And you just can't trust the Tigers' offense to get it done against Suarez. It's a fascinating watch with Scooble because here's a guy who he's been injured a lot recently over the last few years. And I'm really curious because the pace is impossible to keep up, but how big is the regression for him? And also Detroit, who may not be playing for anything down the stretch, what do they do with him to protect him from himself? Because this is a guy that has not thown 150 innings ever in his career high, 149 and a third back in 2021. So yeah, you almost have to take it out of his hands.
Yeah, that, once we get into the summer is where he'll be measured because he hasn't thrown innings.
Which is why that's why I don't understand the number at plus 180. I know it's based on what he's done so far and all that, and that there's a chance that the Tigers let him play out the stretch of the season to win the award, but I think that would be very short-sighted. I just think you have to protect
the player.
They're
playing for nothing. They literally score 1 run a game.
I still think they should trade him too, but that's a bit of a tougher discussion than Garrett Crochet.
Next.
All right, the next one here, we'll go to Mitch Keller because there's a lot of hype with the pitching with the Pittsburgh Pirates right now. So Jared Jones burst on the scene first, and then we got Paul Skenes, and he's must-watch TV every day. But Mitch Keller, who got off to a bit of a bumpy start this year, for being fair, has really figured things out and righted the ship. He was the ace coming into the year, and over the last month, he has pitched like an ace. 25 innings, a 1.80 ERA, 31 strikeouts in those 25 innings, 4 quality starts. And this is why Pittsburgh is an intriguing team here down the stretch. Just because when you're going to trot out a trio of Keller, Skenes, and Jared Jones, it sets up great in a short series, but it also means that 3 out of every 5 days, they're going to be in every ball game. The only question is, will the offense do enough to help them out?
And Keller in Pittsburgh in Cincinnati tonight taking on Hunter Green.
It's a good matchup. 2 young arms going head.
Very good
to head.
Matchup. Green is a $1.30 favorite over at DraftKings. Come back the other way with Keller, who Dustin just mentioned as an up at plus 110.
All right, now next one. This is the portion of the program where I become very annoying. We're going to go to the Mets, number 214, fellas, because the New York Mets are one of the most fun teams in baseball at the moment, and it's very
weird.
Would
you like to explain to a national audience the grimace fascination?
Grimace throughout first pitch at a game. The Mets then reeled off 7 wins in a row after that. They've come back down to earth to a degree, but they did take a series from the Cubs over the weekend, so I want to say we're like 11-1 now with the record post Grimace first pitch, somewhere around that 10-1. The New York Mets are a fascinating team because they had a horrible, horrible schedule to start the year. But they still didn't play well against some bad teams as well. Like, that was part of the problem, was they just weren't figuring things out. My hope here as a Mets fan is David Stearns, who took over control as VP of Ops, who's comes over from Milwaukee, where he's really, really great with analytics, that he just needed a little bit more data on some of the people he brought in to show them and get the most out of them. But the reality is it's the offense has stepped up. And there's a couple key pieces. Nimmo has been better as a catalyst. He was awful to start the year. J.D. Martinez, since he's gotten called up, has been awesome. And you can see a trickle down to the rest of the lineup, his impact in the middle. But also young guy Mark Vientos over at third is mashing the ball. And the Mets, over their last 5 games, are averaging over five runs. They have an 829 OPS, and the offense has stepped up to the plate big time, and the New York Mets have a great, great opportunity here to send a message against Gerrit Cole and the Yankees tonight.
Yeah, big matchup between Cole and Peterson, the lefty for the Mets going. Let's see. The Yankees are a $1.42 favorite coming back, 120 on your Metsies. That's a big series.
Two-game set, and I just think it's good for the Mets to test themselves against a team that is the class of the AL East right now. And then finally for three up, our last one here, we're going to look at the National League Rookie of the Year market. And I'm not going to say you should bet into markets where players are plus 325 and the favorite right now, Paul Skenes, is on an absolute tear. But I would say Jackson Merrill, young guy for the Padres who earned the job in spring training, he's finding his way at the plate. Things are slowing down, and over the last 2 weeks, he's hitting 326, seven homers, 13 ribbies. He's really, really stepped up. And I look over at the NL Rookie of the Year market, and he's plus 450 for the award. And I think this is just worth noting because it's easier for hitters, it seems, to win these awards. The only issue is you're going against Paul Skenes, who is as must-watch TV as we've had in baseball since Ohtani showed up.
Isn't this a market that you and our next guest, Jonathan Von Tobel, have been battling about?
Well, we didn't battle about it. He has 30-1 on Paul Skenes. So
that's ridiculous.
It's a crazy great number. I was saying at a point where I thought Pittsburgh has a chance to be out of it down the stretch. That could happen, but they could be in the mix still with the way the wild card looked, that I was looking to fade him and more so Imanaga. And I thought the number on Imanaga at plus 675 was advantageous at the time. Didn't realize he was going to get hurt, obviously, but I thought, Yamamoto. Thought Yamamoto at plus 675 was a good number, and he'd be there at the end, but him getting injured has pretty much taken him out of the mix here.
Jackson Merrill, okay, rookie of the year. Good job, big guy. Three up, three down, 15 games on tap.
Really six
Major
up
League
there.
Baseball.
Six up. We did six up.
You did six up?
Yeah, maybe we just stay in the positive. We call the segment seven up.
Hey. I like that.
Heads up, seven
by the way,
up.
For those that care, Euros right now, Denmark-Serbia, 68th minute, scoreless. England-Slovenia, 68th minute, scoreless.
Dude, that's the thing about soccer. It's like a bunch of dudes in short shorts and knee-high socks, and you look up after an hour, and no one scored.
But FIFA, so these are the world rankings of clubs. England's 5, Slovenia's 57th.
Yikes. Yikes.
The United Kingdom is freaking out right now.
That's like the Chiefs being tied with Tulane.
It is quite fat. They were a 340 favorite. They'll lay 340 to win a dollar. So interesting. Jonathan Von Tobel's got a draft guide over at vsin.com, and he's been tinkering with it. He joins us next.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSIN, the sports betting network.
Okay, check out VSIN.com. Best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by your state, betting tools, and betting guides all there at VSIN.com. And when you go check out VSIN.com, you're going to find our next guest. He's got his NBA mock draft, does a lot of work that goes into that. Jonathan Von Tobel, VSIN's senior NBA analyst, of course, hosts the primetime right after Sharp Money, so we appreciate him stopping by. He's at MeJVT on Twitter. Good to see you. Let's start with the process, because with so many unknowns in the draft, like, just talk about your process of attacking, analyzing the players, and then starting to handicap.
So my process is a little bit different because, and as I put this in the mock draft today, so my mock draft is based on intel. Like, I'm trying to put together like a betting mock draft, right? One that will tie each pick's tied to a bet that's available in the market, and so to at least find the best plays that are available out there for some of these players and whatnot. So mine's just sifting through a lot of reports. I do get familiar with some of these players you want to watch, because at some point you get to dude, you get to like the sixth overall pick, and all of a sudden you're just talking about like, all right, who's going to fit or what do players like, what the team's like, and all that kind of stuff. There's not that much intel past like five or six. So that's really the process, Patrick. And if you read the article, I've tried to hyperlink to a bunch of the different intel and posts and reports out there so you can read them yourselves and you can infer from the information that's out there too what you make of how I have kind of taken it all in and whatnot. But that's my process for this mock draft.
Okay, let's talk about some of these players. Again, and Dustin, you may know the number over at DraftKings for Richichet, the French kid to go. Zachary Richichet, the French kid to go one overall. Dustin, I'll ask you quickly, what is his number right now, one overall?
It's up to minus 260, which is a little disheartening as someone who does have a Klingon number one at 410. And I think JVT has another ticket on it as well.
I've got Klingon at like 12-1 to go first overall. And I'll say this, when it comes to that dynamic, I still feel as confident as I did, right, that Klingon's still going to be the first overall selection. Well, one of the things when you read all of the intel around the first overall pick, when you hear everything about the first overall pick, I'll even take you back. One of the reports that kind of moved the market yesterday was Brian Windhorst on his Hoop Collective podcast yesterday was talking with Jonathan Givony, and his words were he would be surprised if it wasn't Richichet with the first overall pick. But then he notes, as every other report around the first overall pick is, well, the Hawks do like Klingon. It's just that number one, I don't know. And it's like, well, why? 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 Like, why is – because Richichet is not some out-of-the-park, like, home run prospect. He can be very good. He's a 3-and-D player who, in today's NBA, has a ton of value. But it's not like he's this head-and-shoulders prospect. 2 months ago, Alexander Saar was the favorite to go in the first overall selection. So I actually am still kind of holding out hope here that – if you look at everything, and the Hawks do want Donovan Klingon, and Quinn Snyder, by all accounts, wants Donovan Klingon, that they're just going to say, F it, let's just take Donovan Klingon number one.
And 12-1, a tremendous price. Now, Saar is a name, and as you astutely mentioned, he had been the favorite. He had been kind of the Euro player that we had heard about. What do you take from watching some of the tape on him, and how do you compare him to Richichet?
I mean, so Richichet is more of like a three, right? Like if you're going to fit them into prototypical boxes, from what I've seen from Richichet, he's going to be a three. So he's going to be a wing. He's going to be a 3-and-D guy. He does have some versatility on defense. He's going to be a shooter. Well, you're going to put Saar in more of that 4-5 category, and he is more like today's 4-and-5s. But from what I've seen, from what I gather, in terms of reliable three-point shooter, maybe not necessarily all the way there, but can transform into one so they can stretch the floor a little bit more. But it sounds like he wants to have the ball in his hands. It sounds like, and I don't think this is the perfect comp, so don't take it to, you know, 100%, but a Giannis type that's, you know, a four that can really work with the ball in his hands and create for others while being a dominant force on offense. I think that's how he likens himself. I think that's why he wants to go to Washington, by all accounts, because that front court, especially center power forward, is an absolute mess. It looks like Kyle Kuz is probably going to be on his way out, so I think that's why he wants to go there, but I do think they are two very distinct types of players, which is why, to tie in some of the other intel, like Mark Stein had a report on Saturday that the San Antonio Spurs would like to move up to one, but it's not for Richichet, it's for Saar, which I get that front court defensively, right? Like Alexander Saar and Victor Wembanyama, like that's a terror. I don't know how you're going to get to within 4 feet of the basket. But then on the flip side, I don't know what your spacing looks like on offense if those two are your front court players. I think Richichet is a much better fit for San Antonio. So it does seem that Saar is locked into number two. Givony reported on Friday that he was a, quote, lock to go second overall, and according to league circles, he has, by all accounts, tanked his draft stock to get to number two. He has not worked out with the Atlanta Hawks. He was asked today at media, well, why haven't you worked out for the Atlanta Hawks? And he was just like, I trust my people. So, like, he clearly wants to go to Washington, and I think that's why we're up to minus 650 now for him to go to.
So I'm glad you brought up Giannis, because we have to throw in the caveat when talking about how bad a draft is. Obviously, you bring up somebody like a Giannis, especially with so many unknowns and so many European players. Could you give us an idea what you think overall of this draft and the talent?
Yeah, I think people, and I don't want to throw a blanket, but I will. I think the term bad for this draft comes from people who just don't know what they're looking at. So if I don't know it, it's got to be bad, right? When in reality is, it's just there's a lot of developmental guys, and there is no true beacon, as I've called it, of shining hope, like a Victor Wembanyama or anything else. But you look at some of these players, like Reed Sheppard can be a pretty good guard. He shot 50% from three. He's a pretty decent defender. Stephon Castle's an awesome defender that can help any of these teams. Donovan Klingon has projections to be a good rim protector, a la Rudy Gobert, right? right? We can go down the list of all of these guys. There are quite a few developmental pieces here, and maybe there's some questions about depth, but I think overall, this draft is more just a bunch of unknowns rather than a bad draft. And I'd even direct you, you know, we just threw up my mock draft. Look at number 13, Cody Williams out of Colorado. That dude's awesome. He could be really good player. I loved watching him play. You know, Patrick, he was in the conversations for the first overall pick. He's floating in the range of like 9 to 12. Like, I think that this is going to be a pretty good draft. We just don't know a lot of these guys.
And the irony of that, JVT, is like, it's the teams that get to kind of pick who they want at that point, take some shots. We went back and looked at that 2013 draft that everyone claims was horrible. So McCollum was 10, Giannis was 15, Rudy Gobert was 27. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be just in the lottery to get an impact guy. There's a lot of luck that needs to go right. But you have to scout, you have to develop, you have to find guys that fit what you want to do and have a good plan for them. And I think when we look at this draft, everyone lazily just says, oh, it's the worst draft ever. No, we just don't know who they are because they're mostly European players.
Yes, and that goes back to, again, so I even wrote about this in my first mock draft, right, which is, like, generally for the National Football League, you watch these guys on Saturday, you watch them get drafted on a Thursday, then you watch them play on Sunday, right? You are familiar with them. And so you never go into a draft hearing, like, this is a bad draft, because you recognize these guys and you have seen them play very good basketball. For Zachary Richey, you've got to watch YouTube footage. You've got to, I think it was like Kenyon Sports or something like that. Like, if you want to watch the NBL or whatever, like all these guys. So I think that that's this negative thought of this draft overall. It just comes from the fact that European basketball and basketball in just other places is becoming better. It has been very good. There's a lot of talent out there, and we're just not familiar with them. And if I'm not familiar with you, and it's commentary on the bigger picture, then I don't like it. And I think that's kind of something where we're at with basketball.
No, that's well put. And we got the latest mock over at VSiN.com by Jonathan Von Tobel, a guy that we obviously saw and can score at any level, and that's Dalton Knecht. Now, I'm curious what you think happens with Knecht out of Tennessee, because he's 24. So I don't know if that gives teams pause. What do you think about the player?
No, I don't think so. I mean, you got a couple of guys here that are in about their 20s, right, that are probably going to find themselves in the first round and maybe near the lottery. But I think De Silva's kind of up there in like the late 20s, not late 20s, but like 22-ish, if I remember correctly, out of Colorado as well. But the Dalton Knecht seems to, everything that I've read has him going from like 7 to 10-ish. So I think you're pretty safe in assuming he's going to go in that range. Popular selection has been the Charlotte Hornets in that spot there at number 6. I don't have him going there. I have Montes Buzelis going there. That's a pretty interesting dynamic with that 4-5-6, especially at 5. But regardless, Knecht seems to fall in that range, Patrick, from everything I take in. So I think he can be pretty good. He's a really good shooter, as we know. He's a scorer, and I think he's going to help any team that desperately needs that. An off-ball guy that can play well with a dude like LaMelo Ball. Again, the most mocked spot is Charlotte, but I think he also fits in a place like Portland where, you know, your power forward, small forward is probably Jeremy Grant, right? You probably want some depth behind Grant, and I think he makes a lot of sense there.
How much?
If you're, sorry, go ahead, Big. Go ahead. Go ahead.
How much chaos do you expect here?
Oh, I think a ton. So, really, I mean, this is the big one. So for example, you go to 5, right? So, Donovan Kling and I have mocked here to go to the – actually, and we have it as the Pistons. Actually mocked a trade here with the Grizzlies trading up to 5 to the Pistons pick to go and get him. And the reason why is, by all accounts, James Edwards, who covers the Pistons for The Athletic, does a great job. Last year, miles ahead of everybody with Asar Thompson going 5th overall to the Pistons. So, I trust him. And his account all says they want to trade back and get to John Salon, who, of course, if you see their mock number 9 to the Grizzlies, that's going to be flopped, right? So the Grizzlies theoretically trade up to 5, go and get Kling, and by all accounts, they want that dude desperately. And if he doesn't go 1, you could see a scenario where he gets down there to 5. And if you're the Memphis Grizzlies, instead of moving up to 3, which the Rockets are potentially in market for moving out, it's much more palatable to get to 5, go and get your guy, and then Salon's potentially there at 9. And then it just goes everywhere else, right? You know, like, we could talk about a whole bunch of scenarios, but a lot of picks. Number 3, number 5, number 12, like 8 and 4, they're all up for grabs by all accounts.
The Grizzlies want their Marc Gasol back.
Dude, if they get, I tell you this, I bet him at 45-1 to win the NBA Finals. If they get Klingon, man, do I like that.
Ooh. Interesting. A lot of work goes into it. Go check it out. VSiN.com, Jonathan Von Tobel's latest NBA mock draft. We're coming back with JVT.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Okay, training camps, NFL, less than a month away. The VSiN experts have been hard at work. We were just talking to Jonathan during the break. He wrote a ton for the guide, and they're getting you ready for the upcoming NFL season. Our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide drops this Thursday. It's packed with everything you need to dominate this NFL season. We've got in-depth profiles on every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, proprietary betting trends that you're not going to find anywhere else, but that's not all. Our experts have weighed in with their best bets on season win totals, futures, and props. Whether you're a seasoned bettor like the big guy and Jonathan Von Tobel, or you're just getting started, our NFL betting guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. And we're going to celebrate. You know what we're going to do? This Thursday, we're going all in with our coverage, expert analysis, insider tips, and all the NFL insight you need to start the season strong. Remember, the only way to get our all-new NFL betting guide is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. So visit vsin.com/subscribe to sign up today. Unbelievable. England is tied up 88th minute with Slovenia, 0-0. Bunch of freaking
Southgate's got to go, baby. Get him out of here. He stinks.
You're 100% right. Gareth Southgate's a disaster.
What a bore.
With his lineups. Seems like a team that just has no plan. Listless. You're 100% right, Jonathan. Denmark and Serbia also 0-0. Go ahead.
No, I don't want to do an uneducated rant on soccer. I was going to go in a bit.
Have you always been a soccer fan?
I'd like to hear it.
I really enjoy the sport of soccer, but I don't have the bandwidth to follow it.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
How I always describe it. But, like, these tournaments, I've been in. Like, I've been watching a ton. Really good weekend of football. My wife is also, a football-headed Mexican woman. Her family is very in. So, like, the Mexico games, we're in. We've already got the plans, set up. We watched in-depth Mexico's win over Jamaica. Probably should have been a draw. Didn't really play that well. But, no, I really enjoy the sport of soccer, but my bandwidth just isn't there to follow
it
in depth.
So, wait, does that mean you're going to get amped up for the Olympics in soccer?
But those are, like, kind of – I don't want to call them scrubs, but, we're not – that's not our best, you know what I mean?
I didn't know that.
Mexico, the national team, El Tri right now, not a great place.
No, it's not. It's funny because I find myself hearkening back to Mexican football teams of yesteryear, like in 2014, where they get to the World Cup, they draw with Brazil, they get to the Netherlands, and then that clown Robin flops in the box. No add up on now. No, it's absolutely ridiculous. There's been LPO. Dude, those were good teams, but now not anymore. They left
very good teams.
They left Memo Ochoa off the Copa America roster. Time has flown.
Yep. And he, Dustin, that's the longtime goaltender.
Yeah, he's related to Alex Ochoa, former outfielder for the Mets.
Exactly. You nailed it. Well, I thought that was an informed soccer rant. It's a good job by you.
Well, I was going to start ranting about England. I have no thoughts on anything whatsoever. I was just going to go in on a bit.
I have a thought on England.
Southgate, that is the big story.
He does stink, though.
I have a thought on England. How did that little country in the middle of nowhere rule the world?
It wasn't just them. The Spaniards had a couple of colonies out there.
They ruled the world. It makes no sense.
They're the Spanish Armada.
Country.
Geopolitics and the NBA draft right here on Sharp Money. The guide is up over at VSiN.com. What are we doing with Bronny James?
I mean, not caring is probably the thing to do here. Because, look, he has worked out for two teams and two teams only, the Phoenix Suns and the Los Angeles Lakers. The Phoenix Suns picked 22nd, and I believe because of apron rules, they cannot buy a second-round pick, so they're not getting back into the second round. And I'm going to venture a guess and say that they're not going to draft him 22nd overall, given what's on the board around the time, but it could be wrong. And then you have the Lakers, who are picking 55th. Probably a spot where he lands. I mean, I guess that they're going to do it to make LeBron happy. I actually don't think those two are as connected as we think they are. I think if Bronny was a normal human like you or I, he would probably behind the scenes be telling, hey, Dad, I'd like to go somewhere else because I'm going to be in my 20s with some pretty good money in my pocket traveling the country, and I don't want to be hanging out with you. Right? And, like, I want to be myself. I'm already named after you. I'm already a basketball player. Like, can I do something on my own? So I think there's, like, a personal aspect that we're not really accounting for, but his agency, Clutch and all them, they have at the very least narrowed this down. So I think you're more going over. I think you're maybe looking at a spot to go undrafted. But again, I don't know if LeBron would allow that to happen, especially when you're picking at 55. So safest bet would be that $150, $160 price on the Lakers to draft him.
But hold on. But LeBron stayed out of the coaching hiring
and
let the Lakers do their thing. So they owe him a favor. They can at least draft his son.
I will say this. I think there is some truth to that in that I don't know if LeBron was the one to push the pedal on Danny Hurley. But I do think that once Danny Hurley turned it down, he was probably like, all right, go get my guy. And that was J.J. Redick. So maybe, you know what I mean? There's probably truth in everything.
What do you think about the Redick hire?
I think it's fine. I think what's more important, and you know, this was thrown out there, it's more important is the roster, guys. Like that, you need more right. on that roster. J.J. Redick could come in and have all the best tactics in the world and maximize that team. But I think that team, when you get every single game out of Anthony, look at how many games they got at Anthony Davis and LeBron James this last year, and they were a play-in team. Like that's just not good enough. So I just think that when you're looking at what this team isn't going to be and what J.J. Redick has in store, which is why, again, didn't think it was that good of a job because, yes, it's the Lakers, but it's also a play-in roster with the aspirations and expectations of being a championship-level team. When you look at just the West, you have the reigning Western Conference champs in the Dallas Mavericks. You have the Denver Nuggets. You have the Phoenix. We'll even throw the Phoenix Suns in there. But there's so many other teams that are ahead of them, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves. We can go on and on and on. I just don't know where you're at from a roster standpoint to compete. So Redick could be really good, but I just don't know if he's been given the best path forward to succeed.
Your Los Angeles Clippers.
Yeah, baby.
The Paul George piece is just hanging there.
It is.
What's up?
I don't know. I mean, look, I personally think the market, you know, so the betting odds out there have him that last look is like a minus $2, $2.50 favorite to retain Paul George. I think that's ultimately what happens. As Brian Windhorst said, we're going to have this speed up here in the next couple of days because the deadline's coming up, I believe it's on Saturday, for him to opt out or opt into this player option that he's got. So if he's going to opt in, that would mean that he's more than likely getting traded. So in the next few days, we'll at least see where he's at from that standpoint. But I think that right now, when push comes to shove, and if it's like 5 minutes before he hits the red button, and he's like, all right, I'm going to push it, the Clippers are going to be like, all right, fine. Here's 4 years and whatever, and please stick around. We have a new building. We have lots of toilets. We still have Kawhi Leonard. We need you to come and play and open up this building out in Inglewood. Don't go anywhere. And I think that's ultimately what happens.
Klay Thompson, best thought.
I think he stays.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, look, I think that there's probably some portion of you that wants to go out there and like see what's going to happen. And I will say, I do think that the thought of Klay having nothing to provide is stupid. You know, I keep hearing a lot and seeing a lot on social media. Everybody keeps remembering the 0-for-10 in the play-in, whatever. Like the guy has something to provide. He averaged over 17 points and shot a really good percentage from three this last year. He's a good player who would be very valuable for a team like the Orlando Magic, who are the ones that have been very much rumored to be going after him. He would provide good things for that team. Having said that, when you have these squads that are like legacy groups, right, when you have the Golden State Warriors, more often than not, you're probably going to do what you can to have him stick around and stay in a Golden State Warriors uniform and go for one last run and keep it together. I think that they are the favorite to retain him as
but
well.
He's not getting $40 million. Like, he's not getting a big deal.
I don't think he's getting that from anywhere.
But my point is, is he a $10 million player? Is he a $15 million?
Oh, yeah, he's like a $20 million player.
You think 20 still?
You have to remember, too, how much – I don't think we understand how much money is in the league now. $20 million is actually not that much for a player comes in.
Timothy Mozgov's deal looks like nothing
right,
now.
Right, yeah, exactly. I mean, so, yeah, $20 million in comparison is going to be like a third of what Damian Lillard is going to be making in like 2 years. So, yeah, no, $20 million ain't that much.
Slovenia, by the way, is celebrating – like insanely because
they don't have that
had nil-nil draw with England, so they're going freaking nuts.
What happened up here? Oh, it was just on.
Okay,
I think they just took it off.
They're jumping around. That is so big for that country. And then we had looks like Denmark and Serbia also going to draw at nil-nil.
We've got soccer matches in town this weekend. We're not going to be here. I would have thought about going because there's nothing happening.
I would have definitely gone.
Oh, that'd be so much fun.
At Allegiant, there's a bunch. It's going to be lit. Brazil's in town.
Who's playing? I should look that up because I know USA's in Atlanta.
I think the most likely outcome is I think USA can come here if they win the group, which comes down to that matchup with Uruguay, right? It should come down to that matchup with Uruguay. And then it is the runner-up of the – not the Colombian group. Might be the Colombian group, actually.
Well, I know we got Paraguay versus Brazil on Friday.
Yes, that's going to be here. But I know Team USA can be here in Las Vegas, I believe.
And Brazil last night drew. They're not as good as – this is not a typical Brazilian team. Obviously, Argentina with Messi.
I'm telling you, next Tuesday, Colombia and Brazil is going to be – Awesome.
It's going to be a rocket. It's, you know, it's going to be a cracker.
Yeah. I understand
that's
that term.
That's the verbiage.
I'm a soccer guy.
Good soccer match.
Yeah. Columbia is hot, man. They're a really good team.
They are very good.
They won 2-1 yesterday, but they're up 2-0. They weren't really in danger. I'm telling you, watch out for these Columbians.
Look at him.
I'm telling you, I'm fired up. I enjoy this. I enjoy this time. I enjoy these tournaments a ton.
I do, too. Are you putting together a Copa guide along with your draft guide over at
VSiN.com? That already started. Now, if the timeline had been different, I might have helped out with that for sure.
Ooh, you love to see it. Jonathan, thank you again.
Appreciate you.
We will see you in August, hopefully.
You'll still be our friend? You guys are going to be gone. I was going to say, I'm back in 10 days.
We're gone.
Okay, yeah.
Check them out. Primetime coming up right after Sharp Money. Check out the guide over at VSiN.com. Adam Burke is next.